Today we're learning Erchin Daf Kafav. We're going to start at the Mishnah at the bottom of Kaf Hamubet. Higia Yovel Velo Nigala. So now what happens if this field wasn't redeemed before the Yovel year? So, HaKohanim Nechnesim L'Tochav Ve'Notnin Et HaMehar. We're going to see a three-way machlok at what happens. The first opinion is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, this is what we assume, right? If we saw a two-way machloket about this before, the Yovel year comes, okay, let's go backwards. Somebody sanctifies a field. They say, this field is Hekdesh. They're supposed to redeem it, or someone else can redeem it. If nobody redeems it, it goes directly to Kohanim. But, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they have to actually pay the value of the field in order to benefit from it, okay? Because it's Hekdesh, and even though it goes to the Kohanim, it's what we call a Matnat Kuna. It's a Matnat Kuna that's not exactly a freebie, okay? They actually have to pay their way to be able to have it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nechnesim Velo Notnim. He says, no, they go in, they get the property, and they don't have to pay any money because it's a Matnat Kuna. Okay, we're going to see exactly their proofs in a minute. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lo Nechnesim Velo Notnim. Actually, a strange shita, they don't go into the land. They don't get, the Kohanim don't get the land. If nobody redeems the field, Kohanim don't get it. And obviously then, Lo Notnim, they don't do the pidyon either. Okay, Ella, so what happens then to the field? Nikretz deretushim, ada yovel hasheni. It's considered an abandoned field until the next yovel. Now, what changes in the next yovel? Well, it depends. Higia yovel hasheni velo nigala. What it means is, we give people the opportunity to redeem this field. This field, nobody can live in this field. We give people the opportunity to redeem it. If they don't redeem it, then the second yovel comes. It's called Rituche Ritushim, the abandoned of the abandoned. Okay, it's really abandoned. Ada Yovel Ashlishi. Okay, so now here comes his big line, which is obvious. Lo'olam ena Kohanim nechlesim letocha ad shigalena achir. Kohanim can't get the land, according to Rabbi Elazar, until what? Somebody redeems it. It has to be redeemed first. Okay?
Why would they get it?
Why would they get it? Because, what did we say? Only when the Baalim HaRishonim redeemed the field does it go back to its original owner at the Yovel year. If it doesn't go back to its original owner because the original owner didn't redeem the field, then someone else redeems it. What do they get? Well, they get rights to the field until the Yovel year, but it's not theirs to get. At the Yovel year, land has to go back to somewhere. So at that point, this land is going to go to Kohanim. Okay, so let me just repeat the three opinions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, nobody redeemed the field in the first Yovel cycle. Goes immediately to the Kohanim when Yovel hits, and the Kohanim have to pay the value if they want to benefit from it. Rav Shimon says they go into the land and they don't have to pay. It's just a matnat kuna. It's a gift, a free gift. Rabbi Elazar says if nobody redeems it, it doesn't actually go to the Kohanim in the first Yovel year. We're going to have to deal with the pasuk that says v'im lo yigal et hasadeh. Okay, it says here, if you don't redeem the field, I'm looking in the sheets. Use the sheets today. You're going to definitely need them. It's a confusing daf. In Vayikra Per Kavzayim Pasuk Kaf, it says, if you don't redeem the field, and if the field was sold to somebody else, it cannot be redeemed anymore, meaning the first owner has no more rights to it, gives up his rights. And the field, when it goes to the Yovel, will be Kodesh Lashem. It sounds like, what? Number one option, he didn't redeem the field, then it goes to the Kohanim. Number two option is, if he sold the field, then, you know, if somebody else redeemed it, then it would also go to the Kohanim. So Rabbi Elazar is going to be hard to understand how exactly he does this. Okay? So again, Rabbi Elazar says, just to make it very clear, if you don't redeem the field and nobody redeems, and basically let's say very simply, until such point as someone redeems it, it doesn't go to the Kohanim. It lays by itself, you know, nobody, no ownership. And then once someone, anybody, it doesn't matter who, redeems it past the first Yovel cycle, well, we're going to see, what if the original owner, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's going to be a question, what if the original owner redeems it? After one Yovel cycle, two Yovel cycles, does he get to keep it at that point or not? But let's just assume right now we're talking about somebody else. Somebody else redeems it down the road. At that next Yovel, it will go back to the Kohanim. It will go to the Kohanim. And until such point as no one redeems it, the Kohanim don't get rights to it. Okay, so now we're going to see the reasons for the different opinions. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. Gamar Kodesh Kodesh Mimakdish Bayit. if you're Makdish a house, what happens? That house is Kodesh until what time? Until such time as you pay money for it. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say the Kohanim have to pay money for it? Because he learns the word Kodesh appears here, Kodesh LaHashem, and the word Kodesh LaHashem appears by someone who sanctifies a house. Mala halam b'damim, af kam b'damim. Just like there, you have to redeem it with money. Here also, it must be you have to redeem it with money. For Rabbi Shimon Gamar, Kodesh Kodesh mi kivsei atzeret. He says, what do you mean? Also by kivsei atzeret, which is one of the examples of a matnat kuna, it's the meat of the kvasim that you bring on Shavuot, and it goes to the Kohen. What happens now? Does he have to pay for the kivsei atzeret? No, just like all other matnot kuna, they get it as a gift. So, mala halam b'chinam, af kam b'chinam. Just like there he doesn't have to pay, also here he doesn't have to pay. So now we're going to ask, why doesn't each one learn it from the others? Okay, that's the last part of the first chart on my page. For Rabbi Yehuda, nami yaleth mikivsei atzeret. Why wouldn't he learn from there? Because danim kotche bet kabayit mikotche bet kabayit. Ve'im danim kotche bet kabayit mikotche mizbeach. He goes by categories. This, our case, is kotche bet kabayit. It's something that was sanctified to the for the use of the mikdash, but not as a sacrifice. And kivsei atzeret are sacrifices. That's a sacrifice. You can't compare sacrifices to the bet kabayit. V'Rabbi Shimon, Nami Yalef mi Makdish Bayit. Why doesn't he learn it from Makdish Bayit? So what does he say? Danim davar shematana lekohanim, mi davar shematana lekohanim. The Makdish Bayit, we can compare to Makdish a field, but not when it relates to the part that the Kohanim get as a gift. The Kohanim get as a gift they don't get, someone who's Makdish a Bayit has to pay his way out, but no one, there's no gift to a Kohen there. So therefore, he says, we're going to learn something that's a gift to a Kohen from something that's a gift to a Kohen. This is a gift to a Kohen. Likewise, it should be learned from the Kivsei Atzeret, which is a gift to a Kohen. Ve'ein danim davar she'matana lekohanim, midavar she'eino matana lekohanim. Okay, so each one says, you know, fits into a particular category for them. Now we get to Rabbi Elazar Omer. By the way, you see it says Rabbi Eliezer here. Mm-hmm. There's a debate who it is, but Rabbi Elazar was a contemporary of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it makes more sense it's Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar, forget it, Rabbi Elazar ben, forgot which Rabbi Elazar it is. Okay, anyway. Rabbi Elazar Omer nechnesim velo notnim. Lo nechnesim velo notnim, right? As long as it hasn't been redeemed, nobody can go in. So now we're going to see, you can see from the chart, okay, we're not going to get to all these right away, but we're going to have three different answers. The first two are going to be rejected, okay, till we finally, much later in the daf, we're going to get to Rava's answer. But first we're going to start with Rava, then Abaye, then Rava. Amar Rava, my time into Rabbi Elazar. Amar Kra, v'im lo yigal et hasedeh, this is very tricky, if you don't, is a good example where you have to look at the pasuk inside. Because if you don't look at the pasuk inside, it looks like he's quoting the pasuk. But what he's really doing is he's what you call cutting and chopping, or cutting and, you know, delete and then pasting somewhere else. Okay, he's chopping up the pasuk and moving words into different places. We call this mikra mesohas, where you kind of cut the pasuk and look at it differently. So if you look inside or you listen to me, and at the same time you look at the pasuk, you're going to see what's happening. V'im lo yigal et hasedeh. Remember, we said it doesn't make sense because it says v'im lo yigal et hasedeh, v'im achar et hasedeh lishacher. Right? Sounds like two possibilities, and those both those possibilities, lo yigal od, and then the sedeh will go to the kohanim. Now he doesn't think im lo yigal et hasedeh, it's going to go to the kohanim. Im lo yigal et hasedeh, we're going to have to wait. Right? So what does it say here? V'im lo yigal et hasedeh, lo yigal od. He says, look, there's two. V'ims, okay, v'im lo yigal et hasedeh is A, v'im achar et hasedeh lishacher is B, and then there's two actions. Number one, lo yigal od, that's A, and then, v'yasedeh b'tzeh v'yavel, kodesh l'Hashem, kisteh acherim l'kohen t'yachuzato. Okay, so it says A, B, A, B. We're going to match up A to A and B to B. Okay, so we're going to say, v'im lo yigal et hasedeh, lo yigal od. He can't redeem it any further. V'im achar et hasedeh, and if he sells the field, meaning someone else redeems it, right? Lakohen tiachuzato. Okay, so only in machar, then it'll go to the Kohen, but not otherwise. So now, Amar Abaye, sakina harifa mifzika kra, what, you have a sharp knife that you can cut psukim like this? Right? Of course you can't cut psukim. So, Ella Amar Abaye, I don't like your interpretation, I'm going to give a different reason. Tama de Rabbi Elazar kedetanya. Okay, now here we're going to get a little complicated. This sugya is actually going to be repeated word for word in the next section, they're going to use it a little differently, but we're going to take this braita, we're going to have all to you with this braita, and we're going to have two different ways, and as Abaye is going to understand the braita in one particular way, then they're going to say, you can't understand the braita that way, and we're going to have all to you. Okay, so we're going to go into it and explain. Kidetanya. Lo yigael. Now, notice it says lo yigael od. They're going to darshan this word od. Why does it say od? So, yachol lo tehenig ele chetehe lefanav kiste mikne. Okay, here I put it in the chart here, the braita, the first braita. Okay, you might have thought, lo tehenig ele chetehe lefanav kiste mikne, meaning the Baalim, maybe you might have thought the Baalim can't redeem the field ever. In other words, it can't even be like a steh mikneh. What's the difference between a steh mikneh and a steh chuzah? A steh chuzah is something you inherited from your fathers, and in the Yovel year, it will go back to you. A steh mikneh is a field that you bought, you purchase it, and then it goes back in the Yovel year to its original owner. So you might have thought maybe he can't even have rights to this field anymore. If he didn't redeem the field, then you might have thought he can't redeem it anymore, meaning it can't even be viewed as a steh mikneh. He can't. What did we originally think? It means lo yigael od, meaning if he redeems it down the road, it doesn't revert back to him in the Yovel year, because it goes in the Yovel year to the Kohen, and from that point on, he can't get it back. But no, that's not what it is. Talmud lomar od. You might have thought, sorry, I just want to make it very clear. You might have thought that he can't purchase it at all, not even as a steh mikneh. It can't even be his temporarily, because it says lo yigael. Therefore, Talmud lamar od, what does the od add? Lekemot shahaita ena nigelet. You can't be redeemed, exactly as we thought, to be like it was originally, like a steh chuzah, meaning it'll revert back to him in the Yovel year, aval nigelet shetei lefanav kisteh mikneh. It can at least be like a steh mikneh. Okay? So now, emat, what case is this referring to, this braita? Ilema b'yovel rishon. If you want to say it's before the first Yovel comes, amai ena negelet, steh chuzah nami havya. That's your classic case of steh chuzah. If you redeem it before the first Yovel year, the braita started off asking, maybe you think he can't even buy it back as a steh mikneh. You obviously can't think that because everyone knows that if you redeem it before the first Yovel hits, then of course you can redeem it, right? That's a classic steh chuzah case. So it can't be talking about that. Elapshita biyovel sheni. It must be talking about redeeming it before the second yovel. Now, uleman. So then who would this go according to? Ilema le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, lekoanim nafka. And that's obviously he wouldn't be able to redeem it because it doesn't even belong to him anymore. What kind of redemption would we be talking about? According to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, kicks in the first Yovel, right? The first Yovel comes, that land no longer belongs to you anymore. It belongs to the Kohen. Of course you can't redeem it, so there would be no discussion of redeeming anything after the first Yovel. So it must be, right? Therefore, it must be Elalav Rabbi Elazar. It must be Rabbi Elazar, who basically says, it can't be redeemed before the first Yovel it doesn't go to the Kohanim before the first Yovel, when the first Yovel kicks in, if no one's redeemed it. And therefore, the whole question of this braita becomes that when the second Yovel hits, right? When the first Yovel hits, right? So here was Makdish. First he sanctified. Then came Yovel. Nobody redeemed it yet. Now he's Goel after the Yovel year. You might have thought that he's not allowed to. Lo yigael od sounds like you have no more rights to do it. Even though, right, this is now, there's no owner on the field. But you still might have thought, maybe you can't. What does it come to teach you? The od comes to tell you, you can be goel. Geula is allowed. It's just that your status of geula is going to be, it's only going to be a steh mikneh. So when the next Yovel comes, what's going to happen? It's going to revert back to the Kohen, and it's not going to be in your possession. Even though originally, it was a steh chuzah of yours. Because since the first Yovel hit in, and it, at that point, even though it didn't really belong to anybody, but still you lost your rights to get that land back because you passed the first Yovel.
But the only reason he was able to redeem it after the first Yovel was because he proved he's the owner.
No, anyone theoretically could have redeemed it. It's just the question is, if it's the owner himself, then, right, what did Rabbi Elazar say? Somebody has to redeem it in order for it to go to the Kohen in the Yovel year. So anyone can redeem it here. It's just if anyone else redeemed it, we'd have no question. It would be obvious it wouldn't revert back to them at the Yovel year. It was never theirs to begin with. The chidush here is, when the next Yovel year comes, don't think that because no one owned it in the interim, who's it obviously going to go back to the original owner? No. he gets rights to it like a stemikne.
Then okay. Why wouldn't the Kohanim get it the first time?
Because they can, because the way he reads, so then it's not because he reads the pasuk the way Rabba said, and as Rabba said, it's because you read the pasuk that way, either option A, B. He said, right, so he says the ode comes to teach you. Again, it's not like so clear cut, hey, you get this from the word ode, but the ode comes to teach you that he can purchase it, but it doesn't remain his. Okay, that's right. It's not great where the Gemara is going to reject this. They're going to actually understand the Braita in a totally different way. Okay, so at this point, that's what Abaye says. And he says, so where does he learn it from? He learns it from Ode. Okay, that's his proof. So now, right, Ushma Mina. So then one can infer from here, Tamad Rabbi Elazar Mehacha, Rabbi Elazar Mehacha. The reason Rabbi Elazar gets it from is from this word Ode. So then the Gemara rejects this for an interesting reason. They say, V'tizbira, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Hai Ode my Darshebe. But if you think this Ode is such a significant word, then what are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon going to do with that word? And if they have nothing to do with that word, well then, no, it's interesting. You could say someone darshens it and someone doesn't. But they reject that. And what do they say? El hacha b'mayas kinad. What's this braita talking about? Not what you thought before. Okay, and here, I made these little charts of like the order of events, okay? So according to what we had originally, according to Abaye, we had hikdisha ba'alim, right? They were makdashit. Then the yovel year passed. Then the first Baalim redeemed it, and then the Yovel Sheni, what does it do? It goes to the Kohanim, it doesn't go back to the original owner, because it's Kehe Lefanav Kisvei Mikneh. That's the way we understood it until now. But now they're going to say it differently. They're going to say, Elahacha B'mayaskinan, the Braita, okay, in which case all we're doing right now is we're no longer trying to come up with a reason for Rabbi Elazar, we're off of that for right now. We're rejecting Abaye's reason, and as Abaye brings this Braita to prove, Ode is where Rabbi Elazar gets it from, because it must be that this Ode, Drasha, is referring to the case of Rabbi Elazar. Now we're going to say, no, it's referring to something else. Bisadeh, it's not so different, but it's different. Bisadeh sheyatza lekohanim, it's actually a field that did go in the Yovel year. It's not that it has no owner. In the Yovel year, it went to the Kohanim, which shows what? Even if nobody redeemed it, it could still go to the Kohanim, which supports Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and it doesn't prove anything for Rabbi Elazar. Ve'atu balim lemifrike. I skipped. V'gdisha kohen. And then, after the kohen got it in the Yovel year, he decides to sanctify the field. Okay, so now we get to after Yovel, right? Now, v'gdisha kohen. Okay, he is makdishit. Okay, again, you can see this on the chart and you'll see where the differences lie. So already there's a huge difference because it already went to someone in the Yovel year. Now, what happens now? After the coin's makdashit, remember, once someone's makdashit, anyone theoretically could come and redeem it. V'atu balim lemifrika. And now the original owner comes back to redeem the land. So now here comes our, what the Braita thought originally you might have thought, and then rejects, which is, sakata tachamina lo tifrok, shetei lefanav kistei mikneh. Sorry, I have to read it better. Lo tifrok shetei lefanav kistei mikneh. You might have thought, he doesn't have any more rights. Lo yigael od means you can't redeem it ever. In other words, even if down the road the Kohen's makdishit, maybe you don't have any rights to redeem it. Talmud lamar od. The od comes to teach you. L'kemoch haita eno nigelet. Od seems to mean like, almost like a dying, like it's not in its original status. It's going to be different than before, but it is going to be something. Okay? So, aval nigelet shetei lefanav kistei mikneh. Okay, but it is. Let's try this. Okay. It could be redeemed to the extent that it will be for him like a stemikne, meaning it will go back in the Yovel year. It won't stay in his property. So again, what happened? He was makdashit, then came the Yovel year, went to the Kohanim because nobody redeemed it. Again, not like Rabbi Elazar. Then the Kohen was makdishit. Then the Baalim Arishonim redeemed it. Right? The Baalim Arishonim redeemed it. Then in the Yovel year, it goes back to the Kohen. That's what the Ode is teaching us, that it's no longer for him like a Seahuzah. One might have thought, well, since it was his originally, maybe he gets it. No. Since in the Yovel year it went to a Kohen, it doesn't go to him anymore. He loses his rights. Okay. So now they're going to bring a proof from another Braita that this must be the way to interpret it, because we're going to have another Braita that basically says very similar or the same thing, and then we're going to have to say, well, what's the point of the Od Drasha and this other Drasha, which seem to say the same things. Okay, so now we're up to, on the sheet, on the bottom of the sheet, the Chizuk LePerusha Sheni BaBraita, okay? The second, the second interpretation of the Braita. V'ha Tanya B'shnat, because remember, we took this Braita, first we understood it one way, to say this Braita supports Rabbi Elazar, that's how Abaye took it. Now we're saying the Braita has nothing to do with Rabbi Elazar, and this is the way to understand the Braita, and here's a Braita to prove that we can understand it this way. B'shnat HaYovel Yashuv HaSadeh LaAsher Kanau Me'ito. Okay, this is talking about what we call the Ste Mikneh. This is a field that somebody purchases. The pasuk about a field that somebody purchases, what does it say? In the Yovel year, that field will go back to the person who he bought it from, right? Meaning, right, that's classic Yovel. You buy a field, what happens? In the Yovel year, it goes back to the original person who bought it. Yachol yachzor legizbar shelekachomi menu. Now here we're talking about someone who sanctifies. Okay, this is, by the way, maybe I should say it very clearly. In Esteh Chuza, what do we say? This is one of the differences between Esteh Mikneh and Esteh Chuza. In Esteh Chuza, what do we say? If you're makdish the field, okay, let's forget about Rabbi Elazar's opinion right now. If you're makdish the field, what happens? If no one redeems it, or someone else redeems it and not the original, if the original owner redeems it before the Yovel year, it becomes his land. But if the original owner doesn't redeem it and someone else does or nobody does, what happens? It goes to the Kohen. But Este Mikneh doesn't go to the Kohen in Yovel. Now, this is very logical because if I take Este Mikneh, now what are my rights to the Este Mikneh? I only have rights to the field until the Yovel year comes because I didn't inherit it, I purchased it. What happens in the Yovel year? It goes back to its original owner. If I sanctify that field to the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash can't get more than rights than I have to it, because it's mine and I'm giving my rights. My rights are that I only have it for X number of years. So obviously when it goes to the Mikdash, and if nobody redeems it, well, in the Yovel year, it goes back to its original owner, just like it's an extension of my own rights. So here's the pasuk about it. It says, B'shnat HaYovel, if nobody redeems it, it goes back to the original owner. So now, Yachol yachzor legizbar shelekachomi menu. You might have thought, just like in Esteh Chuza, it goes to the Beit HaMikdash, who basically purchased rights to it. Or they didn't purchase, but they got rights to it. Talmud Lamar, la'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz. La'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz. Okay, what does it say? Now, the pasuk is a little strange. The pasuk says, b'shnat ha'yovel, yashuv ha'sadeh la'asher kanahu me'ito. It goes back to the person he purchased it from. La'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz, to the one who has the achuza, meaning it was his inherited property. So now it seems a little redundant. The person you purchased it from is the one who had the achuza. So why are you repeating both those phrases? So what do they say? So you might have thought it could go like gizbar shel kachot. Therefore it says, because it said la'asher kanau me'ito, okay? So therefore, what does it say? La'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz. It says la'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz to teach you it goes back to the original owner and not to the hekdesh. Yomar, so then, according to this, you might say, La'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz, matamud lomar. Matamud lomar, la'asher kanau me'ito. So if that's the case, it should just say, La'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz, and it would be obvious that it wouldn't go to the gizbar. So why does it say, La'asher kanau me'ito? So what does that come to teach you? Comes to teach you the following case. Sadesh shi'atz'a la'kohanim, okay, a field that went to the kohanim, okay, like a Esteh Chuza. Okay, now we're having a reference within this pasuk about Esteh Mikneh to a case of Esteh Chuza. Let's say you have Esteh Chuza that goes to the Kohanim, umechara Kohen, and then the Kohen sells it. We want to have a case, it goes back la'asher kanahu me'ito. Okay, so now the Kohen, who inherited the land in the Yovel year, our classic case of a makdish Esteh Chuza, vihigdisha, and then he sanctifies it. Vihigdisha lokech. Now, in other words, it passed a lot of hands, okay? It was originally in someone's hands. He was makdish it. It was his Esteh Chuza. The Kohanim got it because nobody redeemed it. Then the Kohen sold it to someone. The person he sold it to, okay, what did he do? He was makdish it. Now, ga'ala acher. Now, somebody else redeems it. So we have a whole new redemption process. Yachol tachzor l'balim marishonim. Now they have this havamina. This is a strange havamina, but since it says in the pasuk, la'asher lo achuzat ha'aretz, maybe they're going to say at this point, the Kohen in the middle lost his rights to it. When the next Yovel comes, maybe it reverts back to its original owner. Talmud Lomar, Lasher Kanahu. Therefore it says, Lasher Kanahu, okay, to teach you that it goes back to the Kohen, who kind of acquired, he didn't actually buy rights to it, but he acquired rights to it in the last Yovel. Once it goes a Yovel to somebody new, we don't ever go back to its original owner. Okay, so now they're going to say, turn over to the second side of your sheet, okay? Now we're going to set up, okay, what I did here is I set up all the cases in a line, like what the order of events were, okay? And we're going to have to say, first, why do you need both Lo Yigael and La Sher Kanau? Because both of them are basically saying, once it goes Biyova Rishon to the Kohanim, it doesn't go to anyone anymore. As again, according to the second interpretation of the Braita. And then we're going to have to say, and what is the Odrasha come to teach you in addition to all of this? Okay, so first they're going to take this one Braita about the Lo Yigael and La Sher Kanau and say, this Braita and the previous Braita about the Lo Yigael and say, what is the Chiddush of these two? Okay, v'itzdrich lo yigael, v'itzdrich lemichtav, lasher kanau. Okay, de'i katav rachmana, okay, let's just go through again the cases. Lo yigael was, okay, and look at the sheet, the ba'alim were makdish it. Then b'yovel rishon, it went to the kohanim. Then the kohen was makdish. Then the ba'alim, the original owners, come and redeem it. And the chidush is, lo yigael, it doesn't go back to you. Okay, as opposed to this case where the ba'alim were makdish, Yovel Rishon goes to the Kohanim. Now, there's a bit of a difference here. Instead of the Kohen being Makdishit, he sells it to someone. The Lokach is Makdish, and here's another difference. Someone else redeems it. But in any case, still, what do we learn? In Yovel Sheni, it goes back to the Kohen. So theoretically, they're very similar, but we're going to say, what's the difference? Itzrich lo yigael, but itzrich lemichtav asher kanau. De'ikata rachmana lo yigael, what would you say? De'lo kahadra klal. In the case of lo yigael, the Baalim redeemed it, right? But, lo kahadra klal, it doesn't go to, aval hacha de kahadra, right, in lo yigael, it doesn't go, right. In the Yovel Sheni of the, in the first case of lo yigael, what happens? The Kohen, really, where's the... So again, he was makdish it. It went to the Kohanim. The Kohen was makdish, and the Kohen himself didn't redeem it. So in that case, what should happen? It's not going to go back to the Kohen in the Yovel. The second Yovel comes, that Kohen is no better than a regular person who's makdish a field and doesn't redeem it. So in this case, it's lo kahadra klal. It doesn't go back to anyone's original owner. Okay, so you might have thought because it's not going to, theoretically, it wouldn't go back to the Kohen himself, therefore also it's not going to go back to anybody, okay? Because the Balim Rishonim pada and took it out from the Kohen's property. Aval hacha, but in the case of Lasher Kanau, de kahadra, here, de kahadra tehadra lamari kama, you might have thought that let's say in the second case, in Lasher Kanau, let's say the Lokach was Makdish, and the original owner redeemed it, and that's here in this case, it could theoretically go back to, according to in the case of Asher Kanau, when someone else was Makdish the Lamb, theoretically it could go back to him in the Yovel year. Okay, theoretically, it could revert back to him if he were the one to redeem it. So you might have thought, maybe it goes back, right? Aval hacha de kahadra tehadra lamara kama. It could go back to its original owner because it says Asher lo achuzata aretz. Therefore, katav rachmana lasher kanau. Okay, that's why you need lasher kanau. V'i katav rachmana lasher kanau. What's the issue there? De lo kaval yave baalim dame. In lasher kanau, what happens? Someone else redeemed it. In that case, the original owner didn't pay any money. So of course we wouldn't think. Right? There's all the more reason it's not going to go back to the original owner. He's not the one who redeemed it. Aval hacha de kayave dame. But in the first case, lo yigael, the original owner did redeem it. It's just he redeemed it once it was past the Yovel year. You might have thought, tekum ba'adayu, and therefore katav rachmana lo yigael. Okay, so each one has a chidush. Now they say, v'i katav rachmana lo yigael v'lo katav od. Now we have a bit of a problem because the lo yigael and the od are very similar in both of them. Look at your chart, right? Hikdisha ba'alim. In Yovel it goes to the Kohanim. Then the Kohanim were Makdish, then the Baalim Arishonim were Poden, and then the Yovel Sheni, it goes to the Kohanim. It's like the exact same case. So why do you need the Ode according to this? Again, this is all the way we understood the Braita. So, I katav Rachmana lo yigael v'lo katav Ode. Hava Amina lo tifro klal. You might have thought maybe he's not allowed to redeem it. He can't buy it even to be a stei mikneh. Remember, that was the whole thing of what the Ob is teaching you. Therefore, katav rachmana od likemot shaita en anigelet avan ligelet shteilah panav kistei mikneh. You're right, they're the same case. But the chiddush in the old Ob case was to teach you that don't think he doesn't have any rights to buy it at all. He can buy it. It's just it's going to be like a stei mikneh. So that's a different chiddush you're learning. Okay? So now we're back to square one. What did we do this whole time? We took Abaye's answer that he understood the Braita to be proving Rabbi Elazar Shita. We proved that the Braita actually is talking about a totally different case, where it actually goes in the Yovel to the Kohanim, just something happened after that, and the question is, could you return it to the original owner or not? And, or the Chidush is you can't. And, therefore, we have no proof for Rabbi Elazar. So, my Havela, so be careful because this question is going to come up again, but it's going to mean something different next time. So, where do we learn Rabbi Elazar from is what it means here. My Havi Allah is often like, okay, so what now? Okay? So, Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Vahaya Sadeh B'Tseito B'Yovel. This is going to be a much simpler answer. The Sadeh B'Tseito B'Yovel. What does it mean, B'Tseito? B'Tseito Miyad Acher. In other words, only when it leaves to somebody else will it go to the Kohen. So, only if someone actually redeems it. Okay. Now we're going to have a question. Ibayalehu. Okay, a question on Shitat Rabbi Elazar. Ba'alim biyovel sheni ke'acher damu o lo. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we understand. Once it goes to the Kohen at the Yovel year, obviously the original owner doesn't have rights to now rebuy it back and have it become a stei achuzah because it already went to the Kohanim. But according to Rabbi Elazar, who it doesn't go to the Kohanim in the Yovel year, it still is ownerless in the Yovel year. So, theoretically, you might want to say that if the Baalim come and they're podeh, any point in the future, it doesn't matter when, it could be 100 years later, I mean, it would have to be his sons, I guess, but the Baalim redeem it, okay? Does it go back to the original owner at that point? Since it never belonged to the Kohen in the interim, maybe it would go back. So, are the Baalim b'Yovel Sheni like an Acher? Are they at this point not considered the owner anymore? They're just like if anyone else redeems it. Now, what happens if someone else redeems it? It goes to the Kohanim in the Yovel year. Or lo, maybe they're still considered the original owner since nobody else took over the property in the interim. So, Tashma, what are we going to bring? None other than the Braita that we brought before. Okay, and now we're going to have the exact same sugya, so it'll be good repetition. Exact same sugya we saw before. They're going to try to prove it from the Braita, the way that Abaye tried to say the Braita is talking about this case. Then they're going to say, oh no, the Braita is talking about a different case, and they're going to go into the entire Mahalach. So, lo yigael, yachol lo teinig elech telefanav kistei mikne. You might have thought he can't buy it ever. Talmud lomar od, lekamot chayta inenig elech telefanav kistei mikne. Right? You can't redeem it to be your ancestral field, but you can redeem it to be a stei mikne. Now again, Ema, what would be the case? Elam of Yovel Rishon, if you're trying to say it doesn't revert back to be a stei achuzah in the first Yovel, amay enanigelet, achuzah nami havya. And that's a classic case of a stei achuzah. Of course it becomes his in the Yovel year. That's the classic case where someone's makdish a stei achuzah. Therefore, ela pshita must be talking about Yovel Sheni. And if it's talking about Yovel Sheni, ulaman, who would this be according to? Either Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the Kohanim Nafka. If you're Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, then it would go straight to the Kohanim in Yovel Sheni, and it would obviously revert then back to the Kohanim in Yovel Sheni also. And as a Yovel Rishon, it went to the Kohanim. Also Yovel Sheni, it would go back to them. Elalav l'Rabbi Elazar. It must be l'Rabbi Elazar. And then what comes out of this? That lo yigael ob, meaning if the Baalim redeem it later on, what are we going to say? It's not like a stei achuzah, it's like a stei mikneh, meaning it does, they don't get rights to it. So there's your answer. They're like acher dame at that point. Ushma minam ba'alim v'yovel sheni ke'acher damu. So now they say, v'tiz barad, do you really think so? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, hi, oh, my darshebe. But if you say that, then they have nothing to darshan. Meaning, right, the assumption is that they darshan owed also, and therefore we must have to understand this bright to some other way. Ella. How do we understand the Braita? Right, it's a field where it did go to the Kohanim in the Yovel year. It wasn't ownerless. It went to Kohanim. But what happened? Because again, it's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon who hold that no matter what, it goes to the Kohanim in the Yovel year. You could see also it's like a wasteful. If it doesn't go to Kohanim and it just remains ownerless, it seems like a waste of a field, right? You wouldn't, like in the recycling and, you know, using things usefully, it would be a silly thing to go with Rabbi Elazar and say it's ownerless. Anyway, b'sadesh yatzal kohanim, then hikdisha kohanim, the kohen himself sanctified it, va'atu balim lemifrake, and then the original owner comes back to redeem it. Again, I'm just going to remind you why we're doing this. Why are we doing this? Because we tried to bring this braita to prove that according to Rabbi Elazar, we would have an answer to the question, that really he's like an acher. Then we say, oh no, the braita has nothing to do with Rabbi Elazar, in which case it obviously can't answer our question according to Rabbi Elazar. Just like in the previous sugya, it couldn't prove a biased understanding of Rabbi Elazar. Talmud Lomar, od. Ode therefore comes to say, "Likemot shaita in a nigelet, aval nigelet shteilafanav kistei miknet." Then they say to further prove that this is the way to understand the braita. Right again, what's the braita saying? That if the baalim redeem it after it already was in the hands of the kohen and the kohen sanctified, and then they had an option to redeem it, it can't be theirs like a steachuzas since the kohen owned it in the interim. The Hatanya, here's a braita that proves that that's the way to read this. Yashuva sadeh la'asher kanao meito. Yachol yachzor legizbar shelekachai menu. You might have thought it goes back to the gizbar. Talmud lomar la'asher lo achuzata aretz. So then they say, matamud lomar la'asher kanao. Sadeh sheyatza lekohanim u'machara kohen. V'kdisha lokech u'gala acher. Yachol shetachzor lebalim arishonim. Talmud lomar la'asher kanao. Right? We have those two cases. One is the lo yigael, the hikdisha, the Baalim, then Biyobal Sheni, it goes to the Kohen, then Hikdisha Kohen, then the Baalim Rishonim Pada. That's exactly how we understood the Braita. In Yovel Sheni, it goes to the Kohanim. And Lasher Kanao comes to give us that weird case where the Kohen sold it to someone else is Makdish it, someone else redeemed it. Maybe you would have thought it goes back to the original owner. Kamashman, it doesn't. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe you would have, right. It goes back to the Kohen that had it in the Yovel year. So, Itzrich lemichtav lo yigael, v'itzrich lemichtav la'asher kanao. D'i katav rachmana lo yigael, d'lo kahadra klal. Katav rachmana la'asher kanao. Right? Lo yigael doesn't go back to, it doesn't go back, let me see if I can get this again, I think. So, lo kahadra klal, it doesn't go back to anyone at all, because there's no one, again, sorry, I got stuck on this the first time, still getting stuck in it. Lo yigael, where it doesn't go back at Yovel, because it certainly doesn't go back. Right. In this case, the Kohen himself didn't redeem it, so of course it doesn't go back to him. But in the case of the La'asher Kanahu, where the Kohen sold it, and then the Lokeach was Makdish it, and then, the Kahadra, right, where it's clearly, 1 second. Now I understand the distinction better. It's good they repeated the sugya. Okay. In the Lo Yigael case, what happens? It went to the Kohen in the Yovel year and then came along someone else, right? The Baalim Rishonim, and redeemed it. Okay? So now, in that case, it doesn't go back for sure to the Kohen because he didn't redeem it, right? It's like a classic case. Of course it can't go back to the Kohen because what happened? It only goes back to the Kohen if he himself redeemed it. That's the way it works in general. The Kohen's no better than an average guy in this case. He was the owner of the field. He didn't redeem it. But in the La'asher Kanao case, the Kohen sold it to someone. The Lokeach was Makdish. No matter what, right? So in this case now, it's not going to go back to the Kohen. No, but the... I understand. What it's saying is in La'asher Kanao case, it actually goes back in this case to who? It goes back to the original Kohen who got it in the first place. Okay? What happened? Again, the Baalim were Makdish, then it went to the Kohanim in Yovel Rishon, then the Kohen sold it. La'asher Kanao, right, means that they're going to give it back to that original Kohen. Because if the Kohen sold it, someone else took it and was Makdish it, someone else redeemed it, the Kohen, it's kind of like a steachuzah for him. So since he sold it to someone in the interim, it's going to come back to him. That's the whole issue. I missed that point. He sold it to a Kohen in the interim. The Kohen sold it to someone, but it's to him like a steachuzah kind of thing. So in this case, it's going to go back to someone. It goes back to the original Kohen. Once we're saying it's going back to someone, maybe we think it will put it back to the original owner. Why don't we, if already it's left the hands of some, right? Maybe we revert it back to the original owner. That's why that comes to teach you, no, it doesn't even go back to the original owner in that case, even though it's actually going back to someone. Okay. So now, v'ikata rachmana l'asher kanau. Right, so that's what we got up to. Then, ikata rachmana l'asher kanau to lo kavaye balim dami. Right, here the balim didn't give any money. They didn't pay for it. Of course, we wouldn't think it would go back to the original owner in that case. But aval hacha, but in the case of lo yigael, where the balim, Yave Balim Dame, they actually redeemed the field themselves. Maybe you would think it would go, right? To Tikkun B'Yadayu, Kata Brahmana, Lo Yigael, to say, no, even when they pay the money, it also doesn't go back. And then again, what's the difference between Lo Yigael and Od? Vi Kata Brahmana, Lo Yigael, Velo Katav Od, Havamina, Lo Tifro Klal. You might have thought we don't redeem it at all. Kata Brahmana, Od, to teach you, Likimochai, Ta'en, and Igele, right? It's that whole chidush about. But at least you do have rights to buy it. You can only just buy it as a stay mikneh. Okay, so now again we have this question, my have ala, because remember, where were we? We were trying to answer the question, balim b'yovel sheni, are they like some other person, according to Rabbi Elazar, or are they like their own, right, themselves, in which case they could get back the land in the yovel sheni. So, second source we're going to bring to prove it, to get an answer. Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ga'ala Balim B'Yovel Sheni, Yotz'a L'Kohanim B'Yovel. Okay, here's our Mishnah. It says, Ga'ala Balim B'Yovel Sheni, then Yotz'a L'Kohanim B'Yovel. Ah, it says it explicitly, right? Is that our Mishnah or is it? No, it's actually just a Braita. Okay? Rabbi Elazar in a Braita says, if the Balim redeem it, then B'Yovel Sheni, it goes to the Kohanim. It seems very explicit. They don't get to keep it. They're like an Acher. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Hanan lotznan hachi. But wait, we didn't learn that way. Our version is Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein Akonim, right, this is our Mishnah. That's why I got confused. He says, but our Mishnah doesn't read it that way. Look at the version of our Mishnah. Maybe that bright is just wrong. Our Mishnah says, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein Akonim nechasim letocha ad shigalena acher. What does that say? Only if someone else redeems it. Sounds like, from the pshat of our Mishnah, if the Kohanim self redeems it, then it will revert back to him. Because the only way the Kohanim can get it is if someone else redeems it at some point. So Amarle, here's his answer. Oh no, you could still read our Mishnah this way. Because Balim B'Yovel Sheni Ke'acher Damu. Acher means anyone at this point, he's an Acher because the Yovel year passed. Ika de Amre, some people have a whole different version of this second attempt to answer the question. That, okay, it doesn't say the words Tashma, but it's as if they're bringing the Braita, Tashma, it's the intro of the Braita. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ga'ala B'Yovel Sheni, Eina Yotza L'Kohanim B'Yovel. The Braita says if he was Goel B'Yovel Sheni, it doesn't go to the Kohanim. I'm sorry, Ga'ala, sorry, I didn't read it right. Ga'ala B'Yovel Sheni, Eina Yotza L'Kohanim B'Yovel. Okay, so now, what does it say here? If it was redeemed, then B'Yovel Sheni, it doesn't go to the, Ga'ala B'Yovel Sheni. If he does it in the second Yovel cycle, Eina Yotza L'Kohanim B'Yovel. Okay, that means, right, if Ga'ala
goes back to the original owner.
Right, it sounds like it goes back to the original owner. So, Amar Le Ravina Le Ravashi, Afananami Tanina. Yeah, and also the reading of our Braita supports that. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Eina Konim Nechsim Lechtocha Ad Shigalena Acher. Only if Acher redeems it. Amar Le, he says, no. If you want to perform our Mishnah, Havamina Balim B'Yovel Sheni Ke'acher Damu. You could still say our Mishnah works, just saying that the Balim B'Yovel Sheni are like somebody else, in which case you can't prove it from our Mishnah, but you could still prove it from the version of the Braita. Okay, new Mishnah. Halokech Sadeh Me'aviv U'Meit Aviv. This is something we saw in the past. Somebody buys a land from his father, okay? Meaning a son buys land. At that point, it's a stei mikneh, but it's a stei mikneh that will be at some point a stei achuzah. It will be his ancestral property because he'll inherit it. So what if he buys the land, then meit aviv, his father dies, which means at this point it becomes inherited land. Ba'achar kach hikdisha, then he sanctifies it. Hareyu k'stei achuzah, that's like a stei achuzah because he sanctified it when it was a stei achuzah. But if he k'disha ba'achar kach meit aviv, what if he sanctified it when it was for him a stei mikneh? Hareyu k'stei mikneh, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon are going to disagree. V'omrim, harehi k'stei achuzah. It's treated actually like a stei achuzah. Why? Because there's this strange wording in the pasuk. We saw this before. Shneimar, im mistei miknato asher lo mistei achuzato. It could just say if it's stei mikna. Why does it say if it's a stei mikna? That's not a stei achuza. What does that come to teach you? Sadeh she'ena ruya liot stei achuza. It means any field that can't potentially be a stei achuza. And therefore, if it can potentially be a stei achuza, we're going to treat it like a stei achuza. Yatzdazo she ruya liot stei achuza. That's our case. Stei mikna ena yotza lekoanim biyovel. Okay, a stei mikneh, this is what I already told you. If you're makdish a stei mikneh, it doesn't go to the kohanim in the yovel year. She'ena damakdish davar she'eno shelo, because someone can't be makdish something that's not theirs and it's not his in the yovel year. Hakohanim v'alevi'im makdishim le'olam v'goalin le'olam. Okay, they're going to explain in the Gemara what it means makdishim le'olam and goalim le'olam. Rashi says, mikdish kohen karka yirushato, if he's makdish his own land, goala afilu achar hayovel, because it says geulat olam tiyeh lekohanim, the levim. They always have rights to redeem it, not like we just said that you lose your rights once the yovel year hits. They can do it forever. Bein lifnei hayovel, bein laachar hayovel. Okay, whether the yovel year passed or not. So now we'll quickly see the sources for what's behind their opinions. Tanu Rabbanan, minayin lelokech stei me'aviv v'kdisha v'achar kach meit aviv, minayin shtei lefanav k'stei achuza, right? If he was makdish it and then the father died, we're going to treat it like a stei achuza. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Tamud lomar, im yistei meknato asher lo mistei achuzato, sadeh she'ena ruya liot stei achuza, yatzazo she'ruya liot stei achuza, divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. That we already learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir, now, it didn't show in the Mishnah. Mishnah was a little imbalanced. It didn't show Rabbi Meir's opinion, where he gets it from. Minayin lokech sadeh me'aviv umet aviv achar kach hikdisha, minayin shtei lefanav k'stei achuza, right? If he did it after it was already his. Talmud lomar, ve'im yistei meknato asher lo mistei achuzato. He understands that pasuk not to include it could potentially be. He understands it to mean a stei mikneh turned into a stei achuza. Right? Sadeh she'eno stei achuza. It has to be a sadeh that's not a stei achuza at all. Yatzdazo shehi stei achuza. But this one is your stei achuza because you inherited it after you purchased it. So, now they're going to suggest, lema b'hakam iflugim. Maybe this is the root of their machloket. Now think about it. When you buy your father's field that you're going to eventually inherit, so why are you buying it? You're buying it for the payrot. You're buying it for the for whatever it produces every year. So now they're going to say, maybe that's the whole debate. Is kinyan peirot kinyan haguf dame or not? Do we say that buying peirot is as if you bought the field? So, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, kinyan peirot, lav kinyan haguf dame, and that's why they view this, right? What do they say? They say that it's like a stei achuza because you didn't really purchase it. It's only purchased for the peirot, but really it's a stei achuza. And Rabbi Meir, Savar, right? And then I skipped. To Rabbi Meir, Savar, Kinyan, Apera, Ki, Kinyan, Aguftami, right? Rabbi Meir holds, it's like a full Kinyan. So therefore, if you're Makdish it before your father died, it's a Stei Mikneh. It's as if you fully purchased the field, even though you really only purchased rights to the fruits, because purchasing rights to the fruits is as if you purchased the whole thing. But, sorry. Let me just finish. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ba'alma, he says, no way. Ba'alma, the Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Huda, Kinyan Aguf, Kinyan Peiro, Kinyan Aguf Dami. They really hold in general that it is like a Kinyan Aguf. So you can't say that's the reason. So what's the reason? Ha Chakra Eshkach B'Darshe. What happened? They saw this very strange pasuk and they just darshened it. They said this pasuk is generally we'd say Kinyan Peiro is like Kinyan Aguf and it's if you purchased it. But this pasuk is so weird because lichtav rachmane im yistei miknato asher lo achuzato should have said either im yistei miknato which is not stei achuzato inami asher lo stei achuza my mi stei achuzato and as why did it have to say asher lo mi stei achuzato? It's not just that it says it's this and not that, but it's got two things going on. It's this and not that, and additionally it has this extra asher lo mi stei achuzato. So what did they learn from there? My mi stei achuzato? It must be sadeh she'ena ruya liot stei achuza. Yatzdazo she'ruya liot stei achuza. So it must be coming to bring this unique case where it's still a stei mikneh, but it's potentially a stei achuza. And that's why they come to that conclusion, even though generally they would think a kinyan peirot is kinyan aguf. What's your question?
No, I think everybody who buys it is also really essentially just getting the peirot. If you think about it, they're just getting to use it, and then they're giving it back. So I'm not sure how it's so different.
So first of all, if you only have, there's a bit of a difference. If you only have rights to Kinyan Peirot, then you can't sell it to anyone. You could sell zchuyot of peirot. I mean, I guess you're saying no one ever has more rights to the land. You can't sell the land to anyone. But if you have rights to the land, right, I guess he could sell it. If he bought it from his father, theoretically, he could sell it. It's a good question. Why, if all the ancestral property is going to go back to the original owner, then theoretically they're all considered...
Everybody's really
just... Right, then everyone's really... Yeah, but... So maybe they are. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's the way they view it. But in this case, it's also... this case is just a unique case because if they only have rights to the payroad and not rights to the field, and the field is for them a steachuza, basically. Mm-hmm. So then it's going to be a steachuza, whereas if somebody else purchases it, it's clearly not a steachuza for them. Mm-hmm. They only have rights to the payroad, and they don't have any rights to the property. So that's why this case would be different, even if you view any sale as a kinyan payroad, basically. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I have to look it up whether that's really the case, that we review all sales of ancestral property as kinyan payroad. It's a good question.